Well, good morning, everybody, and we welcome you along to our Sunday morning service. Good to be here. It's been a lovely warm spell we're having. I hope you're enjoying the heat wave just now, so let's make the most of it while it lasts. I'm well aware as a teacher coming up to the school holidays, and I'm fully expecting that on Friday afternoon at 3:15, there's going to be a big black cloud of rain coming in from the north, coming in from the North Sea. But until that comes, let's enjoy the heat. But it's lovely to be here again in the house of the Lord this morning. And a very special welcome to our friend Mark Donaldson from Peterhead. So welcome Mark and his wife with us this morning. And Mark, we're grateful for Mark's willingness to come and to minister to us. Robbie's away for this weekend, but he'll be back with us next week. But we're glad to have Mark preaching for us this morning. Norman will be taking the evening service later on in the day. But let's come before the Lord as we seek to worship him. I'm going to read Psalm 67. I had a wee meditation on this in the little prayer meeting last night. Psalm 67. To the choir master with stringed instruments, a psalm, a song. Read these words. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on the earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. Amen. We're going to sing our opening hymn, which is, of course, up on screen. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong, a perfect plea. Let's rise and sing together. Let's continue to worship. Let's come before the throne of God. In fact, let's continue to worship as we come to God in prayer this morning. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence this morning. It's good to be here in the house of the Lord. We thank you for all your goodness and your many blessings to us. And Lord, we're conscious as we look around this morning. Are some people absent from our midst, or maybe on holiday or away at a convention or elsewhere? Lord, just let them know your loving presence with them. You will be with them, Lord. You go before them. And we pray that they'll know that you are with them, that we're remembering them here also, Lord. We pray you'll bless them wherever they are. But do bless our gathering this morning, we pray. And we just pray you continue to lead and guide us as a fellowship. Thank you for all your goodness, all your mercies, many blessings, Lord, even as we reflect in recent weeks, Heavenly Father, for the way you've provided for us as a fellowship. And we pray you'd continue to lead us and guide us on, Heavenly Father. Thank you for all your grace and mercies. And thank you, Heavenly Father. We rejoice today in so great salvation, such a wonderful plan of salvation, and the all-sufficient Saviour, Christ Jesus, the head of the church. We thank you for our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, for sending the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for sending Jesus, and that he came and he dwelt amongst men and women. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We thank you, Heavenly Father, he lived a perfect life, and he yet willingly offered up that life on behalf of sinners like us, Heavenly Father, so that through him we might know the joy of assured salvation, we might have a hope now and for all eternity. We praise you this morning. Thank you that Jesus Christ has paid the price for sin, and he's risen from the dead, and he's alive forevermore. And whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We praise you, Lord. May we be, as your people, Lord, may we be spirit-filled Christians, Heavenly Father, filled with the Holy Spirit. And, Lord, may our lives reflect something of your goodness and your love and your grace, Heavenly Father. May we be faithful, Lord, in being able to reach out to the community where you have blessed us. May we be a community church in the sense, Heavenly Father, where we're able to reach out and make an impact on our community, we pray. Lord, we do pray through the work and the witness here that you will be glorified. Bless the ongoing preaching of the word, Heavenly Father. Be with the pastor while he's having a day off today, Heavenly Father. We just pray you'd refresh him, Lord, and minister to him. And we do pray you'd bless the continuing work of the gospel in this place, Lord, and elsewhere throughout the town and the community, Heavenly Father. We long to see people added to the kingdom and built up in their faith, Lord, and maturing in the faith. And Lord, we do pray, Lord, that you would work in people's hearts and lives and draw people to yourself. And ultimately, we pray that you will be glorified. So Lord, bless our time together this morning. Thank you for bringing Mark through, Lord, to come and share. And we pray that you'd bless his ministry and help him as he preaches this morning. Lord, be with those who are, I've already prayed for those who are maybe away on holiday, but we pray for those who are sick and laid aside, those who perhaps are going through difficult testing times, those who are not able to be here, Lord. Let them know your loving and your caring, your gracious presence, Lord, and that you do indeed care for them at this time. So, Lord, accept our thanks and help us as we continue to praise and to worship you this morning. We pray you'd speak to our hearts, and this day, we pray, we'll know it was good to have been here in the house of God. We pray these things, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing our second hymn this morning. Second hymn. And again, it'll be up on screen, so we're just waiting for it now. Lord, I come before your throne of grace, I find rest in your presence and fullness of joy. So let's rise and worship the Lord together as we sing this hymn together.
Thank you.
I don't have many announcements. Do make sure that you've got a copy of the latest bulletin. Thanks once again to Alma for her hard work and putting this together. It'll keep you. This is a bulletin for the whole month of July. So, as we say, Mark Donaldson's taken our service this morning. Norman's on tonight. And next week, God willing, Robbie is back with us to minister once again for the next few Sundays, in fact, until the end of this month. Next Sunday will be a communion service. It'll follow the morning service. Now, our midweek meetings, our Wednesday evening meetings, are going to continue. We're planning that just now anyway to continue to run them. So it'll be a combination prayer and some Bible study as well. This Wednesday evening, God willing, we'll be having a shorter DVD presentation from John MacArthur, From Grace to You. We'll follow it up with a time of prayer. So do come along. You'll be welcome. You'll enjoy some good ministry as well. And if you can make it at all over the summer times, the meetings will continue to run at 7:30 each Wednesday for the time being. Now, also do take note, there's a note in the bulletin as well. We've been handed posters and flyers today at the annual Keswick and Buckley Convention. So that takes place, just a bit of advance notice, but you can take these flyers and posters away Saturday 4th of August till Friday the 10th of August. So you can make a note of those dates. Speakers, we'll leave the flyers, but the speakers are Craig Dyer, who may well be known to some of us here, Craig Dyer. There's a couple of speakers doing apologetics, Gareth Black and Simon Edwards, and David Meredith. Now, that's a name maybe not so familiar to some of us. You might have heard the name or not, but I've certainly heard him during my Welsh exile, shall we say. So I heard him down there. He's an excellent speaker, so he'll be doing the evening sessions at Keswick and Buckley. So if that's something you're interested in, as I say, the flyers and posters are down at the side there, so do feel free to take them away, and we'll keep you up to date with any more information. Now, I think these are all the notices that we need for this morning. So the Lord's offering will now be uplifted. As we take up the Lord's offering, we'll remain seated. We're going to sing our next hymn, "There is our Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son." So what we'll do for the first two verses and the chorus, we'll remain seated while we sing. We'll take up the offering, and then when we've taken up the offering for verse 3, we can rise and praise the Lord together. So the Lord's offering will now be uplifted. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for all your goodness and your grace and your mercies to us, for your gracious provision day by day, morning by morning, your mercies we say. And thank you, Lord, for all that you've given for us. And as we've taken up the offering, Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless these tithes and offerings that we've given, Heavenly Father, and may they be used wisely for the furtherance of your kingdom and most of all the glory of your name in this place and indeed further afield. Lord, as we say the words further afield, we just take a moment to reflect on further afield. We see at the moment on our televisions, Lord, the World Cup getting all the publicity. But all these nations, Lord, they're represented. There's many people have come from all over the world, Lord, from countries where the ministry of the gospel, the declaration of the word, Lord, there's restrictions, there's persecutions, Heavenly Father, against people from some of these countries that we've been seeing over the last few weeks on the television, Lord, and we do pray that maybe even while they've gone to another country to watch some football matches, there might be opportunities for them to hear the gospel and for them to be witnessed to. And Lord, we do take a moment, we do remember brothers and sisters, Lord, part of your church as well, Lord, who are going through difficult times in the countries they come from, maybe in Islamic countries where there's an Islamic regime in power, in the Middle East, Heavenly Father, places like Saudi Arabia and Iran. Lord, we think as well of the extreme persecution in North Korea. We keep on praying for your people there, that you give them the grace to stand up in the midst of extreme persecution. And we do pray that a day will come when they'll be able to meet for fellowship out in the open, Heavenly Father, and be able to freely share your word and speak about their faith, we pray. We do pray that you'd guide the different talks and discussions going on in that country at the moment, Lord. And we do pray, Lord, that this evil regime, that it will fall or it will change. And we do pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd be very near to your people, Lord, and that the day will come when they and others just like them going through difficult and testing times of persecution, we pray, Lord, that some of these barriers and opposition, it might cease, Lord God. So, Lord, we leave these matters with you. Bless those who labour for you and serve you, Lord. We remember people that we've enjoyed fellowship with here, Lord. We think of Platform 67 and Martin Dudgeon. We think of our faith mission friends, Heavenly Father. We think of the open air mission. Remember people, Lord, who are seeking to serve you week in, week out, day by day. Let them help them, Lord, to persevere, and may they know that their labour for you is not in vain. So, Lord, hear us this morning, we pray. And, Lord, we pray you'd bless us, Lord, as we've come to hear your word, Lord. We do pray now, Lord, you'd bless the ministry of your word, that you'd speak to our hearts at this time, we pray. Lord, bless our gathering. Speak to us and be with us, Lord, at this time. We pray and ask all of these things in the lovely name of Jesus Christ, the only Saviour of mankind. Amen. Well, as I say, it's a joy to welcome Mark Donaldson back with us this morning, so I'm now going to hand over to him now.
Well, good morning. It's a privilege indeed to be asked to come and share God's word with you. I bring the greetings of Peterhead Baptist Church and also the Scottish Baptist Lay Preachers Association. Peterhead, as you may be aware, is currently not worshipping in our own premises, but is in a Church of Scotland building, as our own premises are being renovated quite extensively. We're hoping to be back into our new premises the first week of August this year, so not long to go now. And we're very excited about the changes that have taken place. Those of you who are familiar with the Peterhead premises, the gallery is no longer with us. The church has rotated 180 degrees. There is no front door anymore. We come in through the side of the building. There's a large glass box, effectively, that's been built between the church sanctuary and the old manse that was beside the church, so that now all our premises are linked together. That glass box forms the main hub for people entering and exiting the building, as well as a communal area for people sharing fellowship before and after the services. We've knocked out, where the pulpit was, a very large section of granite wall, and put a roller shutter in, such that if the needs arises, we can lift that shutter and effectively create an extended sanctuary building, where the church and the back hall actually become one space. There's a similar knockouts happened in the 49 King Street, the old manse building beside the church, and that effectively has created a serving hatch into the hub. So it all works very seamlessly together with new toilet blocks and a new newly appointed kitchen. We're very excited about it. It's cost the church about £850,000 to do this first phase. Money well spent, and we have no debt, praise God. It's all paid for. And we've plans to do phase two, maybe 6 months to a year down the line. We'll be in the building, see what needs to happen, and go accordingly from there. So greetings from Peterhead. And after August is with us, you're welcome to come through and to have a look at our new premises. Can I invite you to turn to God's Word? I'm going to be reading from Mark chapter 1. And begin reading from verse 35. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately, the leprosy left him, and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet, the people still came to him from everywhere. Amen. And God will bless the reading of his word. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word to us, an instruction for our lives, a lamp to our feet, and a light for our way. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, your promised Comforter, who has come and who illuminates the pages of your word so that we might understand and have grace to apply its truth to our lives. And so humbly, Lord, we pray this morning that you would do that, that by your Spirit you would illumine the pages of your perfect, inspired word. You would show us our deficiencies, you would encourage us, you would exhort us. Lord, you would challenge us. Help us to be more like Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mark, of course, is the earliest and shortest of the four Gospels. The author, John Mark, inspired through the Holy Spirit, most likely gives Peter's account of the life of Jesus. And his stated purpose for writing, very clearly given right at the beginning of the Gospel in verse 1. The beginning of the Gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In common with other Gospel writers, the purpose was to give reasons to the reader to support belief in Jesus as God, as the Messiah. For example, at the end of John's Gospel, we read, "These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." We have a reasonable faith. We have a faith where we do not park our intellect at the front door of the church before we enter it. We are given reasons to believe. It is not a blind leap. More than 700 years earlier, the Old Testament prophet Isaiah had given signs of the coming Messiah. We read in Isaiah 35, "Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong. Do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy." The prophecy foretold that the Messiah would heal miraculously when he came. Your God will come. The Messiah would be the Son of God. That's why Peter exclaims, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." You see, it's important to realize whether we're considering the miracles of healing that Jesus performed, or his command over nature, or his command over demonic spirits, that the miracles simply establish Jesus' credentials as God the Messiah. Their purpose was to affirm that Jesus was who he claimed to be, God Almighty in human flesh. He was the promised Messiah come. So they, in fact, served to validate the message that Jesus came to deliver. He didn't come to do miracles. He came to save people from their sin. That's why he was named, and the angel gave instructions for his name to be Jesus. And so the miracles that he performed upheld his authority to do so. Ultimately, his resurrection would do the same thing. John Mark, in his characteristic punchy, short account, loses no time in telling us what Jesus' message and mission was. Verse 14, "Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." And if we didn't get it first time around, he writes it again in verse 38 that we read earlier. "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach. That is why I have come." Jesus faithfully preached and taught repentance towards sin and faith in God. Hold that, please, in your mind as we come to our passage this morning. We read, "A man with leprosy came." This meeting is also recorded in the other synoptic Gospels, Matthew 8 and Luke 5. In Matthew's account, Jesus had just finished the Sermon on the Mount, outside Capernaum when the leper came. Luke uses the same word to describe Jesus being led into the desert for 40 days. This man was full of leprosy. And Luke uses the same word, as I said, that Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. This is a rare and shocking scene. This man full of leprosy in the same way as Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit came to Jesus. A leper would normally not dare to approach anyone, but he came to Jesus. Perhaps a little background information would be useful here to explain why this scene is so shocking. God, in Mosaic law, gave Israel very clear directions regarding the identification and the treatment of lepers. In Leviticus chapters 13 and 14, we read there how the priests had the central role in the care for lepers and the sanitary precautions against the spread of the disease. Chapter 13, verse 45, the leprous person who had the disease shall wear torn clothes, and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." He shall remain unclean as long as he has a disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. When leprosy was diagnosed by the priest, the person infected was required to live in isolation to prevent contagion. And such isolation was also necessary to prevent defilement of anyone else who came into contact, because leprosy made a person ceremonially unclean. The law required lepers to keep their hair untidy, to wear mourning clothes, to cover their mouth, to shout out, "Unclean, unclean," announcing their presence not only by their appearance, but verbally as well, warning others to stay away. Leprosy could be passed on to others through infected droplets in the air. And people can contact, by coming into contact with objects that lepers have touched, can also contract a disease. It's interesting, physicians never attempted a cure in the Bible, for leprosy was never treated as an illness so much as an uncleanliness. That's why it was the responsibility of the priests. So this man was an outcast. Being a leper was a lonely, sad experience. We still have the phrase today, don't we, being treated like a leper. In fact, the Talmud, that's the rabbinical teachings and commentaries on them within Judaism, prohibited a Jew from getting any closer than 6 feet to a leper, or 150 feet when windy. And of the 61 defilements listed in Judaism, next to contact with a dead body, the most serious was leprosy. This man would have no family, no job, no friends, no community, no place of worship, no hope, no future, no self-confidence, no sense of self-worth. Serious leprosy was and still is a terrible disease. A disease that attacks the nervous system, creating numbness of the extremities. So there's no pain. The body's natural warning is removed. And as a result, the extremities of the body are damaged without knowledge. The nerve damage also leads to muscle weakness and permanent disabilities. Fingers and toes are traumatized. The disease creates a lack of blood supply, and so the eyebrows and eyelashes drop out. The skin loses its original color, and it gets thick and glossy and scaly, and the thickened spots on the skin eventually become dirty sores and ulcers. And around the eyes and ears, the skin begins to bunch, and deep furrows between the swellings result in a face that resembles that of a lion. The eyes are also attacked, causing blindness. Infective pustules form in the mouth, and the leper has a very unpleasant odor as a consequence of the disease process ravaging their body. And frequently the voice box is also attacked, and so the leper becomes hoarse. Why do I tell you this? Simply because the effects of leprosy not only could be seen, but they could be felt, they could be smelt, and they could be heard. No other disease is given equal prominence in the Bible. And that's because God had a spiritual purpose in marking out lepers as unclean. Because of the physical ugliness of the disease, leprosy was a graphic illustration of sin, a walking visual aid. It's no coincidence that the same imagery and vocabulary is used in Scripture to describe both leprosy and sin. And there's no question that this desperate man, full of leprosy, had great physical need. But spiritually, sinners, those infected with sin, are much worse off than him. For this disease of sin, which infects us all, is infinitely worse than even the worst case of leprosy. And just like leprosy, sin is ugly and loathsome. It might seem pleasurable and lovely for a time, but it always reaps pain. Sin, like leprosy, contaminates and defiles what it touches. Our sin defiles what God had originally purposed for our lives. We were made in his image, and that sin that entered the world disfigured and marred that image, separating us from a holy God, making us spiritual outcasts, forcing us to live outside of God's kingdom. That sin blinds our eyes spiritually, and it causes poison to spew out of our mouths. It gives us the smell of death, and it thickens and hardens our conscience against God. Takes away our future, takes away our hope for all that awaits the unrepentant sinner. A righteous judgment of a holy God. It's as if God regards each one of us, because of our sin, as having leprosy inside and out. And so, as we consider this story this morning, have the idea in your mind that this leper is you. This leper is me. His leprosy is representative of our sin. So back to the story. Here's an account of a man full of leprosy. With all that understanding in our mind, can you appreciate how this would be such a shocking scene? A man with leprosy came to Jesus. The crowds perhaps parting as he did, maybe even throwing stones in an attempt to keep him away. But despite the man's condition, he sought help. For where Jesus is, there is hope. And that's still the same today. John Mark tells us in verse 40, he came to Jesus and begged him on his knees. Luke adds, when he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him. He came with an attitude of reverence. He came and knelt in front of Jesus, begging to be healed, realizing to whom he had come, the Son of the living God. And Luke and Matthew add, the leper calls Jesus Lord. He came with reverence. And he came humbly, not demanding anything. If you are willing, he says, you can make me clean. He didn't tell Jesus how worthy he was of this healing. He didn't talk about his rights or his wants. He didn't claim his healing. He came with utter humility, recognizing God's sovereignty. He came with faith. Because of his deep need, unconcerned of what others would think, you can make me clean. There was faith there. He knew Jesus was able to heal. His concern was Jesus' willingness to heal him. He was saying, in other words, I know you can. I just don't know if you will. After all, he was a leper, forsaken by society, perhaps believing he had been cursed by God. How would Jesus respond to this man? Verse 41, filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. It was compassion that motivated Jesus to cleanse and heal the man. God is a God of compassion and a God of love. He feels the pain of sin's effects in our lives. He feels the suffering that sin brings, the loneliness and the low self-worth it produces. God is a God of compassion. That touch of Jesus would have been this man's first loving touch for a very, very long time. If we are disciples and followers of Jesus, this is a striking and sobering example of what it means to be a compassionate servant. Our ministry as Christians should involve practical love, support, and service for others, even to outcasts. Jesus' mercy was directed at his physical need. The leper received deliverance from his disease and his alienation. And I wonder, do we show the same attitude as Jesus? Merciful, helpful, sympathetic, compassionate. Are we prepared to meet others' needs with that same compassion? Or are we too often unhelpful, unsympathetic, or even spiteful to others who are in need? Does our compassion motivate us to touch the untouchable, reach out to the outcast and the rejected? Many years ago, I came across a poem which challenged me about this practical aspect of my Christian faith. As a professing Christian, what am I doing about the physical needs of people? It uses the form of Jesus' words at the final judgment in Matthew 25. And it reads as follows. I was hungry, and you formed a humanities group to discuss my hunger. I was imprisoned, and you crept off to your chapel and prayed for my release. I was naked, and in your mind you debated the morality of my appearance. I was sick, and you knelt and thanked God for your health. I was homeless, and you preached to me of the spiritual shelter of the love of God. I was lonely, and you left me alone to pray for me. You seemed so holy, so close to God. But I am still very hungry, and lonely, and cold. May we who follow Christ be more like him in our willingness to minister to those who are in need. Jesus touched this untouchable leper. He reached out his hand and touched him. Rather than being contaminated and defiled by the leper, Jesus' touch cleanses him. The touch of Jesus transforms this poor man. And so we read in verse 42, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. This leper received divine healing. He was cured, fully restored and cleansed. We can only imagine his misshapen stumps becoming beautiful, fully functional hands. His contorted, deformed face instantly being restored. His scarred and scaly skin instantly healed. Immediate healing. An unmistakable demonstration of divine power. Tangible proof again that this is the Messiah. Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God, the Son of God. In Mark, the Greek word katharizo is used, translated as cured in the NIV, a word that means cleansed, made clean, purged, purified. It's the same word used by the Apostle Paul in Titus 2. Speaking of Jesus Christ, he says, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own. Jesus' blood purifies, makes clean, purges the sinner in the same way that Jesus purifies, cleanses, heals the leper. It is instant and complete healing. His defilement is gone. His leprosy is gone. And those who have been redeemed by Christ are also cleansed fully and completely. That is why Paul writes in Romans, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful humanity to be a sin offering. Our God is a God of compassion who has made a way possible for our foul leprosy to be cleaned. Good news indeed. Jesus is able and willing to cleanse each one of us, all in this building and all outside it. He is a cure. for this terrible disease of sin, with all its terrible and eternal consequences. For he is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Sometimes there's a danger that that gospel message may sound to others almost holier than thou, that we are claiming as Christians to be better than those who are not Christians. But it's not, of course, that those who have been cleansed and forgiven are better than those who haven't been. Martin Luther, famously describing evangelism, says there is one beggar telling another beggar where to find food. One spiritual principle is crystal clear in Scripture. To receive forgiveness, to receive cleansing, to receive healing and reconciliation, we must, just as a leper did, come to Jesus. To the one who said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." But we need not have the same concern as a leper when we come to Jesus for our healing. Paul writes to Timothy, "God wants everyone to be saved and understand the truth." The psalmist writes, "The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion." And as we come, being careful, it is with the same attitude of heart which the leper came with, an understanding of our wretchedness and filthiness and sinfulness, leading us to an attitude of repentance, identifying we have a deep need of healing and cleansing, unconcerned what the crowd thinks. That's why Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Blessed are those who mourn over their sin. For with such an attitude comes a humility and a repentance that leads to salvation. So come with understanding of your filthiness. Come with repentance. Come with reverence, recognizing we come before a holy and almighty God, that Jesus is indeed Lord and deserves our honor and worship. And come with humility, conscious that in coming to Christ, we're not doing God a favor. Augustus Toplady's hymn, Rock of Ages, has the following lines: "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Naked, come to thee for dress, helpless, look to you for grace. Foul, I to the fountain fly, cleanse me, Saviour, or I die." We come empty-handed, naked, helpless, and filthy, with complete humility, with reverence, and we come with faith. Faith in the power and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. A faith that will deny our own will and follow instead His divine will. That's the good news of the gospel message, summarized wonderfully by the Apostle John. Jesus came, died, and rose again so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. We can be touched and cleansed of our sin by the Creator God of the universe. We can be made new, just like that leper. And once touched, we are then entrusted with the ministry of reconciliation as ambassadors of Christ If you have never received the healing and tender touch of Jesus, you can come today acknowledging your sin, repenting of it, coming in reverence and humility and in faith to the one who will cleanse you immediately and fully. And if you have and are following after your Lord, if you are one who has experienced that touch of the Master, then commit yourself again to take this message of good news to those who need Jesus' cleansing. I pray that the Lord indeed will give us grace to do that for his sake. Amen. Let us come now as we finish our service and sing that old hymn, Rock of Ages, by Augustus Toplady. Rock of Ages, cleft for me. We'll stand as we sing. Heavenly Father, that is our prayer, that each one of us find our solace in you, that we hide ourselves in you, that the Lord Jesus Christ and his robe of righteousness covers us and cleanses us and protects us from your holy wrath. And now we ask that we build ourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep ourselves in God's love as we wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring us to eternal life. May we be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. Show mercy to others mixed with fear-hating, even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. And now to him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.